This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin the Monday edition. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here in downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis. I like that jacket. Back home in Cleveland, Ohio, for everybody watching here on the VSiN Watch app on this Monday morning. Jensen, how was the weekend, my man?
Very good. First of all, round of applause to you, my friend. I know we will get through all of the golf wagers, but those are ones where you just sit back and you light the old victory cigar and say, thank you very much, Mr. Potgeater. Come on down. Your table is ready. Overall, okay, so I remember I told you I was going to do a little bit of the steaks and pretty nice meal on Saturday. We have had just nothing but rain, you know, here for the last 3 to 4 weeks. So Saturday ended up getting some lawn work done. And I know I joke with you, like, you know, you're at the age where you get done with stuff, physical labor, and you're like, I think I'm done. Dude, I was in bed by 9:30. I'm not afraid to admit it, but I was toast, buddy.
What are we talking about, rain? The heck is it? What do you? I don't even know what you're talking about over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So that canceled
the sky.
That canceled the cookout in Cleveland, I see, on Saturday. We're going to get to all of that with the golf and certainly with the UFC. Again, we're going to have a great show lined up here on this Monday. The King of Connecticut, Will Hill, will join us as he always does on Monday. Can't wait to get his thoughts as we really start to turn the page now and get closer and closer to college and the NFL as well. Danny Kleppinger is going to join us. Wimbledon, I do believe it's underway as we speak. As you know, in a Lewis Ross administration, we will have universal time. But I don't know what time it is over there in England, but they are playing tennis right now. So we'll catch up with Danny and get her thoughts on this tournament. And Zach Cohen is going to join us in hour number three, our senior writer and editor here at the network as well. So plenty to get to on a Monday, and it begins with highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Boy, those Scooble snacks were delicious last night in Detroit on center stage, Sunday Night Baseball. And did Tarek ever deliver? 13 Ks, 7 innings, easy 3-0 win, shutout win over Minnesota. 7 innings for Scooble in that one, 1-hit ball as well. I never want to say that a race is over because it's still technically June as we turn the page to July tomorrow. But if you needed a showcase game, when nothing else is going on here, Jensen, I wonder if we got it last night in that Cy Young with Tarek Skubal trying to reign and defend with that crown.
Fair enough to call it. Time of day is 7:03 Eastern time on June 30th. The Central Division, hang the banner. The Detroit Tigers are your 2025 AL Central champions. Okay, so a couple of things from an odds perspective here. You bring up the obvious one with Tarek Skubal. Right now, minus $1.90 here at DraftKings to defend his title. Garrett Crochet plus +380, Hunter Brown plus +550, which I think is of note here. And then Max Fried at 10-1, Jacob DeGrom 11-1. Those are it's basically a 5-horse race, if you want to call it that. But a fair amount of distance here between Tarek Skubal and the nearest competitors. Also, by the same ilk here. You can lay $20 for the Tigers to win the American League Central. But more importantly, Dave, and we'll talk a bit more as we get into Daily Diamond here. I do have a future on the Tigers at 13-1 to win the American League. They're down to plus +290. Their second betting choice to the Yankees at plus +270. So, you know, rare that you see halfway through the year after a Cy Young season that you have this kind of dominance. And for what it's worth, he only threw 93. I mean, AJ Hinch could have left him in.
Sure.
And, you know, you punch out, what, 7 or 8 of your first nine?
Mm-hmm. Eight of first nine, yeah.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. But, again, you're right. As effective and efficient an outing as he's had all season long.
Now that you have that dream ticket already in pocket for the Tigers there, would you say 13-1, Jensen?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Will you look to find another dance partner, wait to see how it shakes out here for seeding, that sort of thing? Or obviously that ticket, it's already got a lot of, well, let's just say it's already got a lot of things working in your favor at 13-1.
Yeah, it will be one that you kind of look now at positioning, right?
Yeah.
And if you just go the overall standings, we always target those teams that are in the top two because you get the automatic bye into the division series. So as the American League stands, you see the 3-0 win from Detroit last night. Easy under, by the way. Great rocking chair winner if you played it. So Detroit and Houston right now, Dave, would be your number one and number two seeds respectively. You would have the Yankees as a 3 seed. And so remember, in baseball, you already have the postseason alignment and the seedings locked in. So the 1 seed will play the winner of the 4-5. The 2 seed will play the winner of the 3-6. And by the way, speaking of a Lewis Ross administration, we would have reseeding in the Major League playoffs. I mean, it is just ridiculous. Why, as a 1 seed, would I want to play a potential 100-win wildcard team? That's my reward for being the best overall team in the regular season. No, thank you. So my dance partner definitely will be in tow here. And it probably, I've been back and forth, Dave, between either the All-Star break or the trade deadline, because as we know, we'll see if teams are buying and selling. Anxious to see what these standings look like in about a month's time.
So we've already pronounced that the Central is done. Wave the flag for the other four contestants there, that it's going to be Detroit. What about Houston? As you mentioned right now, they're the 2 seed, if you will, in the American League. I'm stunned by this, that they're the second team to get to 50 wins, and it's not the Yankees. Like, I 6.5 game lead here over Seattle, and the Angels are actually the next nearest after that, and then Texas. Like, it's too early to pronounce that that one's over, but I'm stunned with the separation by what's going on with H-Town.
Yeah, and also to think they've done it, as we said many times, no Alex Bregman, no Kyle Tucker, and really no Yordan Alvarez for the majority of the season, so that should scare a lot of people. Here's what the big, if you want to buy in, you want to buy stock on Houston, back in their bullpen, save for the San Francisco Giants this year, this is your best bullpen in baseball.
Yep.
Third in ERA, best whip, best strikeout per nine, lowest hit per nine allowed. They're just a freight train. And if we had a real MVP race outside of Judge and Cal Raleigh, Jeremy Pena would need to have his moment, because without him, not sure where the top of this offense is going. But you're right, Houston will certainly be a contender to buy some stock in here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Pena, because I don't think enough people are talking about him when we talk about how the Astros are getting it done. He's a key cog in that machine. And still, oh my goodness, on Saturday night, what a great night it was around town here in Las Vegas, and UFC 317 has come and gone. You and I talked about it all week on the network, and I said I thought this would be top to bottom the best card that you're going to see. If you wanted violence, kept warning everybody you were going to get it. It did not underdeliver. I mean, it was an unbelievable night, certainly the main card. And what we saw happen to Charles Oliveira at the hands of Ilya Topuria, absolutely sensational. It did not get into the second round. It was one round and done. KO victory for Topuria. So he is now a double champ as he vacated 145, moves up to 55, and wipes out one of the greatest champions we've now seen at 155 pounds. So his last 3 wins are against arguably the greatest 145-pounder of all time in Alexander Volkanovski, Max Holloway, who could have made a case before Volk as the greatest 145-pounder of all time, and then Charles Oliveira, who we talk about in regards as one of the greatest at 155 pounds. Topuria cashes those big tickets there. He could have gotten him north around $4 betting favorites where he was closing. Did get lower down about 350, 365. I bought in on that dip at Topuria when those numbers came down on him. But Charles had his moments on the ground, and I still say, Jensen, maybe we're looking now at Topuria at any weight, 45 or 55, as arguably pound for pound, if not the best in the world, he's right there knocking on the door.
And also, shout out to our great friend Zaid Hussein.
Oh,
right,
man, Zaid is all over.
And I really feel better now that I played the Denise and the Pantoja moneyline parlay that he threw out there too. So you'll appreciate this. So we wake up Sunday after, we do a complete makeover of the lawn care on Saturday. And Michelle rolls over. She goes, "Did you need Topuria to win?" I'm like, "Yeah. Please tell me he did it in like the first round." She goes, "Yeah. And look at this guy's face." I was like, "Oh my God, this is utter destruction, right?" I know you were down at stations
and by the way,
shout out Dana White for hooking you up too with a little bottle of bourbon there.
That's twice. I'm trying to get on your level, on the bourbon level.
You had plenty of time to do that. This was one of those, and I watched it back just a little of the highlights. this is just utter destruction here, you know, and I know you've seen a lot of these main cards and some of these, you know, they wanted violence, you know, matchups, and then it just kind of is like, eh, this was fury. Woo. This was fury, man. And I mean, just laying it out the way that Topuria did, what an impressive win top to bottom. As good as it gets here in probably the last handful of months.
Yeah, and we've been on the dog in the co-main event in Kai Kara France against Alessandra Pantoja. That proved to be fruitless because Pantoja can make his claim for pound down there at 125 and arguably one of the best flyweight champions that we've ever seen now. He just backpacked Kai Kara France, gets that submission victory in the third round. So really impressive in the co-main and the main. And we talked about Brandon Royval against Joshua Van. Maybe the fight of the year that we've seen so far. 15 minutes of toe-to-toe back and forth. Absolutely amazing fight in that one. Joshua Van gets the win probably in the last 30 seconds. He got a knockdown there late in that third round. It was tit for tat at that point. That's why it was reflected in the betting lines. Basically a pick 'em either way. And Van gets it done. Kid is 23, Jensen Lewis, fighting grown men. And Joshua Van, then, after Pantoja's victory in the co-main event, they brought Van out into the octagon, and that looks like that's going to be next. So are we going to get Pantoja against the Kid? And will we get Patty the Batty got into the octagon against Ilya Topuria? My goodness, so many things to discuss in the UFC in the coming weeks and months, that is for sure. But when we come back again, so much more to get to, including that NFL betting guide, a lot of NFL betting talk on this show as well. So come on back, just getting it started, the Monday edition, VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Monday edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to get to some NFL rookie props coming up in the next segment. And I know that our esteemed producer, Brandon Valesky, had his NFL draft yesterday. It's that time of year, Jensen, where people are not only mocking, you're having your physical draft. And I know that what we go wide receiver heavy with Brandon's picks. Is that right?
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He did.
JJ.
And credit to him too. We talk about, and we'll probably do this a lot coming up in the next month or so. The zigzag theory, we do it a lot, you know, in the NBA postseason.
Yeah.
We do it in other betting spots, but hey, fantasy drafts, it's all there. It's all applicable. So yes, there's going to be some assets available if Mr. Valesky needs it as we move through the regular season.
So I know everybody's starting to get ready for their drafts. One already in the books for our producer, Brandon. That was done on a Sunday. I was immersed in the PGA Tour, obviously, yesterday.
Yes.
At the Rocket Classic. And I'll just say this, too. We were on the Aussie, Cam Davis, last year. So maybe I got to just wait for this tournament every year, Jensen, because it's been very good for yours truly in the last 2 years. And we talked about it earlier last week that I tried a different strategy this week, right? I didn't have any outright plays. So I just did the first round leader bets, and you know who I'm going to pick, Cam Young. I took Pac Eater at 80-1 and took Akshay Bhatia. And the other two were never even close. And then I see Young Aldrich here, and you go, well, what gets you on Aldrich? And I was asked this by our dear friend Michael Kim. He used to work with Michael back in Chicago. He said, why Aldrich? And I said, he drives the ball better than most, and he's a really good putter. And, yeah, he's 20, so we're going to have some things there. You got to iron out when you're 20 years old how to win on the PGA Tour. But he's won on Korn Ferry Tour and the tours leading up to the PGA Tour, and you kind of knew it was a matter of time. And Jensen hopped in after he cashes that first-round leader ticket as he sets the course record at 10-under on Thursday, and you and I talked about it on Friday, and said, well, wait, just wait and see, because normally the next round, talk about the zigzag, is not necessarily your best, and it wasn't. It was 2-under on the Friday, so he's sitting at the weekend at 12-under par. He's 2 off the lead of a couple guys there, and he drifted to 20-1, and I thought, why is he drifting to 20-1? That I think that's a fair number to play. So hopped in there and also hopped in at 18-1 on third-round leader. And he goes back off 7-under par, 2-shot lead going into yesterday. So then no plays, Jensen. We're sitting there going, can the rookie get home? He makes birdie on one, and you go, oh, he looks great. Jensen, he almost hits it into the practice area on two. And I go, oh no, like, here we go. This is the disaster is already setting in for young Aldrich on two. And he actually makes a good bogey on two and then follows it up with another bogey on four. He's out of the lead before he can bat an eye. And as he's making the turn, he's two back and he drifts to 625 dog in the fourth round. And I went, well, if you've been watching all weekend like I have, you know he loves the back nine. This is where he thrives. This is where he kind of turns it on. So I hop back in at 625. And then as we all saw, five playoff holes later, one with Chris Kirk and then with Max Grazerman, the youngest South African in the history of the PGA Tour. Oh, by the way, better than Trevor Immelman, who won a Masters Championship, Ernie Els, multiple major champion. It's now Aldrich Potgieter as the youngest South African, their long lineage, Retief Goosen, great players of yesteryear, of major champions. And Jensen, this is it. I think we saw the window of triple digits on Aldrich Potgieter before a tournament, you know, getting drifting to 20-1 when he's only two back. He'll never be priced like the guys we talk about each and every week, but I think those gravy train days are over. This kid is legit. And at 20, Jensen Lewis, what were you doing at 20? Were you ready for the bigs at 20?
I think I was debating if my current girlfriend in college was costing me wins, because it was one of the worst stretches for my I got demoted from the starting rotation Vanderbilt, and my dad sat me down and he goes, okay, let's look at your ERA when you're single. Let's look at your ERA now. And again, it's the only dads can do this.
That
right?
is good parenting.
So he's like, hey. It was just like, you need to focus on what you like. So fortunately, you know, we made the adult decision, like, okay, it's not working for both of us. And then I went on to be an All-American my junior year and got drafted in the third round. So he was probably right. But that's what I was doing. It was a fork in the road for me when I was 20 to figure out what's going on here.
But that's awesome, because guess who was there with Aldrich? His dad. Was there with him every step of the way. And you saw the stern look of his dad. Like, oh, come on, kid. Like, trying to get him over the line. And you could see how nervous the dad was. And his son's there. And, you know, there's a lot of things with, as you well know, at 20, with your parents front and center. It's hard to win on the PGA Tour when you're 30, like Max Grazerman, still hasn't done it. Four runners up. When you're 40, like Chris Kirk, who is in that playoff, and it's the youngest guy by 20 years to Chris Kirk, who ends up winning on the fifth playoff hole, and he just poured in that birdie. I mean, the kid can really putt. I don't want to say a star is born, because, you know, one PGA Tour victory, we don't want to get over our skis, but I mentioned it to you on Friday, Jensen. I see a lot of Rory McIlroy when Rory was this age coming up, in that talent oozes. Like, the talent is undeniable. So if he learns how to chip a little bit better, there's not a lot of weaknesses in his game, Jensen. He's 40-1 this week, by the way, as they get ready to go to Minneapolis here this weekend. So a number and a name to keep an eye on, that if he starts to go into a 50-60-1, and you and I talked about it off the air to begin the program, I will be curious to see what he looks like at say, an Open Championship where you can bomb it forever. Mm-hmm. And if you can putt, you might have a real chance. I know he's 20, and maybe that's a little bit too much, but when you get this first one under your belt, Jensen, and I know for you as a young player, when you get that first taste of success at the big league level, I got to think this is really a good sign of things to come.
Not only that, buddy, I'll try and scroll and find this upcoming here and see what his real-time odds are for Royal Portrush. But even looking ahead, you mentioned 40-1, early look here at the John Deere, and I know we'll break it down coming up in the next few days. Your boy, Little Denny, I think popped to me at 30-1.
Yes.
Of course, great putting. You got to have that up there. Jake Knapp, who was right in it this past week, 35-1. Our old friend, a great friend of our program, Siwoo Kim, watches this a lot, 30-1. And then speaking of the Aussie, Jason Day at 22-1. It's it's an intriguing little field here as we get the preamble now to the next couple of weeks before we head overseas.
Yeah, you really do. You see a lot of young players on this on a leaderboard coming up like we saw this week. Probably see it a lot again next week. Michael Thorbjornsson actually grabbed a share of the lead. Another young American player that's got a lot of game in his bag. But I'm so glad you brought up Denny McCarthy. Those 30-1s right now is the third betting choice. I don't know that they're going to be there come tee-off time on Thursday. I'm picking up what you're putting down there for first-time winners like Aldrick Pocketer at the PGA Tour yesterday. Also, Mom and Dad were watching the Senior U.S. Open. That was going on in Colorado Springs. And congratulations to Padraig Harrington. Yes, Potty got it done.
Yes.
I know Mom and Dad were rooting for the American Stewart Cink. But how about this company? Padraig Harrington wins yesterday at the Senior Open, and he now has won two of those. Did it 2 years ago, or 3 years ago as well, in 2022. He joins a couple guys you might have heard of to win multiple Senior U.S. Opens and Open Championships, the British Open, as we say. Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Padraig Harrington. That's really good company for the Hall of Famer. Of course, he won three majors, back-to-back Open Championships on his days in the PGA Tour. So some real royalty of golf getting it done there yesterday. It was really cool to see those guys still playing at an elite level there, Padraig Harrington and Stewart Cink. You mentioned the British Open, or the Open Championship. That's going to be in 2 weeks from this week. So, again, we're not going to see the big boys again until they show up in 2 weeks. Have we gotten over the Tommy Fleetwood experience from a week ago? Is that somebody we're going to look at on the card here when we get closer next week?
No. No, I don't know what – I mean, I don't even know if he has dual citizenship. If he does, then perhaps that's the only way I consider him, because he would have to have some American in him to be redeemable at this point. It is I don't know what it's going to take. You know, and that still stings.
That really stings.
Like 2016, we should have won the World Series in Cleveland. 2007, we should have gone to the World Series. Still stings. So, Tommy, there you go. That's the timeline that you're dealing with so far.
I only had him at, I think it was 16-1. I had him for a winner without. What'd you have him at? 19-1? Something. Somewhere?
19-1. Yeah.
We had two good tickets that did not cash. All good tickets do not cash, people. Just know that. We're trying to find that value. I think the value was there, and then somehow Tommy Fleetwood didn't get it over the line. You want to bet on sports? How about some ponies? You can try the ponies here at our friends over at First Bet. They're going to let you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top picks across the United States and, dare I say, the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VEASAN200. Claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head over to firstbet.com and do so today. And by the way, shout out to Kelly Bidlin. He was on Max Grazerman. A great call, by the way, at a big number two on Grazerman. Didn't get it over the line. We're talking about some good bets that don't win. Max had two chances to win that thing yesterday. Didn't get it done, but he was knocking on the door. When we come back, let's talk some NFL. We're getting oh so close. VSiN by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We will discuss some NFL rookie props here coming up in the very next segment. But right now, Jensen Lewis, another wild weekend. The Meet the Mess group text that I have with me and my boys, one of the messages that just came across, Jensen, it just said, are the Pirates officially the best team in baseball? Because I don't know how else to explain what we saw between the Mets and the Pirates over the weekend. I mean, Jensen, it very quickly, do you just throw, can you throw that out of the psyche for the Metropolitans? Like, you just got steamrolled in Pittsburgh.
Steamrolled, and you talk about Tommy Fleetwood on the ban list. Oh. I think the Mets are on my ban list for at least a little bit. Fortunately, they get to come home, and they get to, you get the Brewers, who have pitched really well, and they'll get the Miz Wednesday at Citi Field, and then you get the Yankees, you get a little Subway Series coming up here too. So, everything's great. You guys will be in great shape.
Welcome to July, kids. That was a weekend to forget. But without further ado, it's time for today's edition of the Daily Diamond. For everybody in Major League Baseball here, as we start to turn the page here to July, we're over the halfway point. It's amazing to think how quickly you can get through 81 here, Jensen. Where does that get you today to begin the Daily Diamond?
All right, so some intriguing trends in where some teams stack up, some things we expected, maybe some things we did not. The Blue Jays, beginning of the year, we did not expect them to be in the hunt. Well, No. Guess what? They are, and all of a sudden, a very pivotal series to begin today north of the border. The Blue Jays right now are 33-24-2 to the over in American League matchups. Dave, that is the best mark in Major League Baseball. They will host division rival, the New York Yankees, who are 38-15-3 to the under in American League matchups. That also, Dave, the best mark in baseball. It also helps when you get, 15 or 16 straight unders. That's going to help as well. Now, here's where I want to attack today. Blue Jays 23-18 covering the run line as the home team, just period. That's the third best mark in baseball. Yankees 17-23 trying to cover the run line as an away team. Second worst. That's kind of weird. Second worst in baseball covering the run line as an away team. So Blue Jays getting a run and a half at home. Let's parlay that with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's been swinging it really well and has great numbers against Carlos Rodon. Plus $1.32 for this parlay. Really advantageous to attack a couple of these spots where Toronto has been really solid as of late.
Toronto 6-1 as the third betting choice to win the division. Rays are plus +390. Yankees still have to lay over $2 at 225. That's the amazing part to me, Jensen, very quickly. The Yankees are actually bigger favorites now. Remember, you could have got them at plus money at the beginning of the year to win the division. Small plus money, but you could have gotten it. And now they're over a $2 betting favorite, despite the fact that the Blue Jays and the Rays are playing this good baseball. By the way, the Red Sox, 40-1. Orioles, forget about it, 250-1. Is that because it's not the two teams we thought they would be competing with? Because everybody thought it'd be Boston and Baltimore. And since they're so far down in the odds board, the other two people are not taking seriously in the betting market in the Rays and the Jays?
All right, so I think that we do a couple of different things here and a couple of options to offer. You know, I have been very hesitant to have anyone really jump in on a division prop.
Right.
But if you were going to jump in on a division, it's either this one or the American League West between Seattle and Texas to run down Houston. So I think if you want to jump in on Toronto at 6-1, that's fine. I would more advocate for it. You know, we've done this a lot, is go to the American League pennant prop. Blue Jays are double that at 12-1. So I just feel like you have more bites at the apple here to monetize an exceptionally higher payout potential than just looking at the division prop. Because, I mean, there is an avenue here where the Yankees all of a sudden figure out how to score again. They make a couple acquisitions at the deadline, and then they run away with this thing. But we have seen Aaron Judge disappear in the playoffs.
Yep.
And if you catch the Yankees in a short series, maybe that's your pathway through. I mean, I think there's multiple pathways to monetize some of these double-digit potential tickets here for American League pennant futures.
We'll just call it foreshadowing for later on in the program, but I took your advice on that, and we'll get to that play a little bit later on in the program, maybe thinking a little bit bigger picture instead of just the divisional race there. Boy, we can't wait to see what it looks like for young Chase Burns. The Reds and the Red Sox, the Battle of Red, is going to be taking place today here in Boston. What do you have in this second Major League start?
All right, Dave, the sequel sometimes isn't as good as the original, but I think we got an opportunity for it to at least match. So how about an encore here for Chase Burns? What a scintillating start to his big league career. We watched that striking out the first six, or at least recording six consecutive strikeouts for his first six outs of his major league career. Second major league start is first on the road here, and what a place to do it at Fenway Park against the ace of the Boston Red Sox starting rotation, Garrett Crochet. Now, how about this statistic, Dave? Red Sox just 2-5 in games, in the seven home starts, I should say, for Garrett Crochet. A very wild statistic. Usually you win when your ace is on the hill at home. It's not been the case here for Boston. So the strikeout props, pretty juiced, as you would anticipate, right? So the over-under right now for both these guys, as I pull it up here, is what you would expect after what you saw from an initial start. So it was 4.5 for Chase Burns in his debut. It's up to 5.5, and it's juiced pretty heavy, $1.60. Here's what we did. We bought down. bought down to five or more for Chase Burns. Parlay that with Garrett Crochet, seven or more strikeouts. It is a bit juicy here, Dave, but I'm fine laying it. It's $1.65 for that parlay. But Ellie De La Cruz, who has been super hot.
He has.
You know, for whatever reason, sometimes the stars rise to the occasion. It's an abbreviated slate. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this series. I got Ellie at two or more total bases. Let's ride the highs here. Plus $1.55. He's going to hit from the right side. And I think that's going to be an option, an opportunity for the Reds offense to do some damage here early.
I love where your head's at in that one. That Crochet against Ellie De La Cruz at the dish, that would be worth the price of admission just to see that matchup in and of itself, and to see Chase Burns out there in start number two. Cannot wait to see what this kid does for an encore. Let's get to what we're going to see in the divisions. And maybe a parlay piece here, Jensen, that you like if you think it's going to stay chalky.
Never too late to get in the race, Dave. And the marathon allows you multiple on-ramps, if you will. However, if you feel that what you've seen is what we're going to get,
ooh,
would you rather
have
the current American League division leaders in a parlay? So right now, the Yankees, the Tigers, and the Astros all lead their respective divisions in the American League. You parlay those teams to finish it out and get across the finish line. It's right around even money, $1.02 here at DraftKings. Or would you rather have the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Dodgers for division leader parlay at plus $1.83?
Let's go a step further,
and I'll get your answers on both here. This is also a fun one. So if you want multiple opportunities for teams within a single division to win a pennant, here are your numbers. And for people listening here on channel Sirius XM 158, in the American League, you can get the entire AL East for $1.25, Central for $2, AL West for plus $2.35. National League, you got to lay $1.10. National League West, got to lay $1.10. National League East, almost 2-1. NL Central, 4-1. I'll give you the floor here, sir. Which of these really stand out to you?
Okay. As much as I hate it, I would take the American League leader parlay here with the Yankees, Tigers, and Stros at $1.02. Ironically, I do think the Yankees could be in trouble to get that home, as we just talked about with Toronto at 6-1 and the Rays, the way they're playing at almost 4-1. That could get dicey. And I'm with you, too, in the Stros. I wonder if they can hold on to this 6.5-game lead, but it is a big lead. I just wonder if they're going to buy. The reason why I wouldn't do the National League at the better price point is I'm not so sure the Cubs are going to be able to hold on to that thing. I do like the Dodgers out west. And the Phillies, as poorly as the Metropolitans are playing, Mets are still only a game and a half back. So that could be a two-horse race down the stretch. But I love this, and I was looking at it last night. The NL Central at 4-1, the longest number on the board. Jensen, there's a chance you could get four teams in from that division. I don't think you will, but there's an outside shot that you could have three wild cards from that division. That's how good the Reds are playing, how good the Brewers are playing. I don't know if the Cardinals really have that staying power to stay there. But Jensen, 4-1 for a division that might at least get three, if not four. Give me the long shot with the Central at 4-1.
I think it is a fun market to jump into if you just don't know a team or two that you'd rather go with. I mean, just think about it. You get the Yankees, the Rays, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays in the East still at plus money. I won't have any part of the Central because I already have, Detroit at 13-1. And the West, that's an intriguing one. But you're right. I think the Central, if you want to feel like the Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers, and Reds are worth shots there. Remember, you can also get matchups potentially, Dave, where you'll have two teams in the same division that could match up respective league championship series and you're home.
There you go. That's all you want, right? Just get there. If you can get two in from the same division, I'd love it to be one of the picks that I put in pocket last night. We'll discuss that later on in the program. Before those lines move, check out our friends over at sharpplays.com. They're going to help move them for you. You don't have to chase that market. You don't have to out-muscle the billion-dollar sportsbooks by yourself. They're powered by cutting-edge AI, trusted insider sources. They're going to give you those real-time alerts, market-moving insights delivered right to you via email and or X. Sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at sharpplays.com.
The books right here on VSiN.
We are getting oh so close to the legit start of football season, college football, NFL. It's all right around the corner. Do you like getting into the speculation of what the kids will do in year number one of the big league? We were just talking about Aldrich Pocketer at 20 being able to win on the PGA Tour. It's normally a little bit different for rookies in the NFL. You got to bide your time sometimes. Do you start the kids right away? Do you put kid gloves on them? How do you look at the rookies coming in? Because when you're a high draft pick, Jensen, as you know, they don't want you to sit very long.
Okay, so in baseball, we definitely keep an eye on it. You know, spring training is usually your audition period too. And depending on where guys have been drafted, development, you kind of know coming in that this is, hey, you're coming in just to get the feel of what it's like to be a big leaguer, go through the routine, be around the guys, and then you're going to go head down when they make those first cuts, and you go to your respective minor league team. Then you have guys that have been around, like you've kind of seen them come up a little bit, and they legitimately, you know, when they enter camp, like they're in contention for a spot. So very different in baseball, obviously, comparatively to the NFL, because as we know, when you get drafted, you're going, man. You're playing or you're going to be a big part of it. So, yeah, I think probably football, more than anything, you keep an eye on the youngsters, especially in the running back room, just because we know the attrition is so ridiculously high that for a fantasy perspective, you better be ready with handcuffs. You better be ready with those third guys on the depth charts, things of that nature. So yeah, always an eye on it, and can't wait to see how it shakes out this year.
So we knew that Cleveland at two had a generational talent in Travis Hunter. They were never going to pass on. Then they trade out of the spot. Travis Hunter ends up going to Jacksonville, and he's now down there in Duval. And you look at the numbers here for Travis Hunter, and this is interesting to me, that on the defensive side, how many regular season INTs? I don't know if they're going to be playing postseason football down there in year one, Liam Cohen and company. But if you think he's going to get one, you got to lay almost 3-1 at 295. If you think he gets two or more, here we go with the ladder, plus $1.25. Can he get three? How about a 3-1 number? Can he get four or more picks at 8-1? Now, Jensen, if he gets four or more picks, I have to think already he's in the running for defensive rookie of the year. Do you see that correlation? Again, I'd rather get into these markets where it's not speculative. At least we know what the criteria is to cash those tickets.
Yeah, I think you and I already put in, and I can't remember if it was defensive rookie of the year, offensive. I'll go back and look. But as it pertains to this market, it makes all the sense in the world just from value to take the two at plus $1.25. I mean, that in and of itself, we could get that in just in one game. If we got Anthony Richardson in there, absolutely. Let's go for it, because we know that Anthony loves throwing to the other team. So that was screaming a lot of value. I don't know if I want anything else upwards of that. And just by your rationale too, if you like three or four, then absolutely he's got to be in defensive, you know, rookie of the year talk. Yep. So the two, just from a, you could almost do this. You could split a unit, right? You could go maybe three quarters of a unit on the two or more. So you're making money no matter what, and take the other quarter unit and put it on defensive rookie of the year. I think you get a free roll at that point.
12-1 for Travis Hunter to be the defensive Roy. And again, the question is going to be, how many snaps does he get on both sides of the ball, right? Because Travis Hunter's told you, I'm playing both sides of the ball. We went, okay, kid, we'll see what they say. They have said they're going to do the same thing. They're going to play on both sides of the ball. I got to tell you, I would ladder that up starting at two. I would not play the way in the $3 there. I'm with you. Get the plus money, plus $1.25, that'll get you at least two. You can get that in a game with a couple tip balls, things go your way. And I do think the league would throw at him early to see what he's got. So he's going to get some looks out there and some opportunities. I like that ladder 2-3-4 for Travis Hunter. What about Abdul Carter? Now, if you gave me truth serum before the draft started, this would have been the guy that I'd said, Jensen, if I could have any player, regardless of what my team needs are, this is the kid I would have wanted. We saw what he did at Penn State. We saw what he did in the bowl game with that bad shoulder and still was just a wrecking machine. They could not block him. Now, if you think he's going to get seven or more sacks, you got to lay $1.50. You want to go eight or more, $1.10. They still won't give you plus money. How about that? Nine or more, that's where you start with the plus money. Plus $1.50. 10 or more, $2.75, 11, $4.75, 12 or more. Again, defensive rookie of the year numbers there. He is the favorite, by the way, to win that award for Defensive Rookie of the Year, plus 250. You get 8-1 if he gets 12 or more sacks. In order to win that award, as the shortest shot on the board, how many sacks would it take?
Probably, I mean, it's probably a shoe-in if he gets to 10, right? And I'm just going back on, I remember, was it 2023, Will Anderson had 7, I feel like, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, that, you know, kind of being the benchmark. 9 or more at $1.50, absolutely. I think you got to sign me up for that. I mean, the 8 or more to $1.10 feels like an easy one, too.
Yep.
He's going to get significant snaps. If you get to, I would think you get to 9, you're absolutely either the front runner or you're in the top 2 or 3. No question about it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And again, if you wanted to lay the $1.10 at 8, I wouldn't get mad at you for that. I don't know that I'd want to lay the $1.50. It still feels like a playable price if you did want to ladder Abdul Carter, because you mentioned the key, which is snaps. Even if he looks a little bit lost early, and I'm not saying he does, but even, let's just say worst case scenario, he's not picking it up in camp, things aren't going as swimmingly as you thought, he's going to play. This is a kid that's going to get reps no matter what, because I think they'd rather work out on the field, whatever, and we're going really glass half empty. If he doesn't look like he's ready to step in game number one, he's going to get those reps. I'm with you. I kind of look at that and I go, I don't mind laying that $1.10 and ladder that up from 8, however high you want to go. What about Matthew Golden? Now, the Packers don't draft first-round receivers. They did it this year. I'm sure that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are like, hey, what about us? You didn't do this when we were there. But you're going to do it for Jordan Love, and you finally get that first-round receiver in Golden. I know it was a guy for Cowboy backers like myself, thought he might be in play to go to Dallas. Doesn't go there, goes a little bit down the board there to Green Bay. They've got a bunch of number twos. I wonder now, when you're a first-round pick, if he has to be their number one.
Spoiler alert, Matthew Golden will be featured by yours truly in the upcoming NFL betting guide that drops tomorrow. And without giving away what my handicap is, I would say the 800 or more receiving yards at a plus $1.50, go ahead and lock that sucker in right now, because just even with the attrition, you know, last year that we saw in Green Bay, we know that Jordan Love is going to want to move the ball down the field. Let's look at some recency bias here, right? If you think about, you know, where like a Nico Collins was his rookie year, Tank Dell, I think his rookie year was at 709 yards. And remember the receiving core that he was involved with there. 800 feels in that Green Bay offense that if any issues come up injury-wise, that wide receiver room again, and he's the healthy one. I mean, he ascends to a number one. His pathway to being a number one in an elite offense feels much shorter than a lot of other rookie receivers comparatively. And I underline elite. Think about what other offenses could be elite with rookie offensive weapons like Matthew Golden. I like him a lot. 800 or more receiving yards plus $1.50. Go ahead and sign me up.
So it doesn't worry you that because they've got a bunch of good options, whether they're great or not, you think this talent level is going to shine to the point where $1.50, by the way, $1.30, 700 more yards, that he's going to shine. Like the talent's going to ooze from the kid as a first-round pick that you want to spread the ball around. That's great. But if he's clearly the alpha in that room for the wide receiving room, he's going to get his looks. Yeah.
100%. I love where the offense is. Yep. I love that they will be in situations where they may have to air it out. And again, if you develop that trust early, that's a go-to guy that can be very dynamic. You said it. Imagine him with Dak in Dallas. And yes, you get the greatest show on turf potentially there because of the home games. But I think that Jordan Love is going to find him early and often.
We're hoping George Pickens is going to work out as a number two. That's what we're hoping for in Dallas. That's what we want to go with CeeDee Lamb. By the way, a lot of this type of talk will be featured in our NFL betting guide. Guess what? Christmas comes early. It's coming out tomorrow, people. Yes, that's right. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Our football special. It's going to be fantastic. As you kind of gave a little primer there, Jensen, you and I will give some more, a little taste of what we've written up in our section of the betting guide there. It's going to be all of the hosts that we have here at VSiN previewing all 32 teams, player props, projections, you name it. It's in there. If you want to be a better bettor in the NFL season this year, $175 right now, and that covers you all the way through the Super Bowl. Who's going to be in it? We made our Super Bowl predictions as well. It's all there for you, the NFL betting guide. We're very excited about it. Comes out tomorrow. Hour number two straight ahead, and maybe some drama in the NBA that we don't like. That is next year, VSiN by the Books.